I'm really privileged to be preaching this morning. I am fitting in with your sermon series that you've been working through as a church of being disciples, those who love, trust, and follow Jesus. Did I get that right? Yeah, good. So that should be well into our minds at the moment. So we're reading on in Luke chapter 11, and it's starting at verse 29. And the title here is the sign of Jonah, and then we'll be going into another section, which is the lamp of the body. And as I read this, you might think, well, those two have got very little to do with each other. But let's remember that this is God's word. The Holy Spirit was working with his writers, compilers, to put together this flow of thought. And these two things are very much saying the one thing that Jesus wants us to know this morning. So let's read. The sign of Jonah. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." Amen. So this is God's word. It is what has been chosen for us to read this morning. And God, and our Savior has something to say to us from this morning. I wonder, as we enter Advent next week and you're looking forward to Christmas, how you feel about the celebration of Christmas as a Christian festival. Do you enjoy the worship and enjoy the fellowship of the Christians around you, or are you actually a little bit disappointed and discouraged? Not at the belief that you see, but the unbelief that you see around you, as everyone seems to be celebrating, and only a handful seem to be remembering Jesus. And I wonder, when you think about the unbelief in the world, do you ever wish for a great sign? Do you ever wish for a powerful act of God to persuade all of the crowds to believe in Jesus? Perhaps you're someone who has experienced charismatic renewal and has actually experienced healings and prophecies and tongues and has seen how it can lead people to faith and thinking, God, we need more of that. Or maybe you're just simply tired of the opposition to Jesus and to Christians in general, and whether it's people from we've got a big platform on television or social media, or it's that relative or friend who will not see the truth of Christ, and you just want to see them shut up and believe because they've seen something that they can't deny has happened, because it's happened because Jesus is there and a miracle has happened. Or maybe you just desire to see a mighty act of power from God so the churches are full this Christmas. And when we sing Christmas carols, we're not just singing them because we like the tune and it's coming from we're enjoying the Christmas spirit, whatever that is. But we're singing them because we know and we understand and we feel those words in our hearts that the Savior has come. Well, at this point in his ministry, Jesus is attracting great crowds. Those crowds have experienced a miraculous feast. They've experienced a dead girl brought back to life. They've experienced a demon possessed, being exorcised, being freed and restored. And it's not enough. They've experienced the power of Jesus and what he can do, but it's not enough. And they're still testing Jesus. They're asking for a sign from heaven. Previously in chapter 11, in chapter 11 and verse 16, if you look back a little bit, it says that some are asking for a sign from heaven to test Jesus. A little bit on in the book of Luke, Jesus is going to tell a story about a poor man eating the crumbs from the table of a rich man. And then he's going to give a picture of what it's going to be like when they both die. And the poor man is receiving comfort a comfort in heaven, and the rich man is receiving torment on earth. And he says, please send the poor man back, send Lazarus back, and he'll go and tell my brothers to believe. And the end of the parable, Jesus says, even if they experience someone coming back from the dead, they're not going to believe. Now, Jesus wasn't just telling that story to do with the rich man and the poor man. He was talking about his generation, the people he was speaking to who weren't listening to him. And he was saying, even if someone rises from the dead, you won't believe. And then he went and did it and rose Lazarus from the dead. And guess what? They didn't believe. And I think those who are here who have witnessed healing and prophecy and miracles know that it doesn't always lead to faith. And even people who experience those miracles won't necessarily put their faith in Christ. And it's heartbreaking when you experience great God doing great things and you see someone turn their back in him on God at that point. Now, a word about signs. I'm absolutely convinced that we will experience God's hand in our life as we walk with him in faith. I give a little bit of our testimony, and I'm sure someone else could say, it's just a bunch of coincidences, but I'm absolutely convinced God brought us to that place and gave us these opportunities and has looked after our family. It was wonderful to hear Abby's testimony of beseeching God to give her that assurance, that security. That's a sign from God. Now, that's a still small whisper. That's only for you alone. It's not going to stop the world in its tracks, but you know it's a sign from God. As God's getting involved in your life, you will experience signs. If you're privileged, you'll experience a sign that you can share with your friends and your neighbors and your family, and they will go, yes, we believe too. But more often than not, it's going to be those who have faith, who listen and respond in faith. So as we seek to be disciples, those who love, trust, and follow Jesus, we shouldn't be seeking for signs to be the basis of our faith. Because it often isn't the basis of faith. So what should we be seeking to be the basis of our faith? What should our faith be based on? Well, Jesus has a lot to say about this as he speaks. Now, he calls this generation a wicked generation for asking for a sign. But let's just be clear here. That doesn't mean if you want a sign from God and you ask for him to give a sign that you're being wicked. They were asking for a sign because they wanted to use it against him. They weren't asking in faith. They were asking because they just wanted to trip Jesus up. But what did they actually want to see? Feeding 5,000 people with a handful of food clearly wasn't enough. Raising a child from the dead clearly wasn't enough. Maybe they wanted to see a pillar of fire coming down from heaven. Perhaps they actually wanted to see Jesus throw himself off the temple and then be caught by angels. They wanted to see something that they could say, yes, now I'm convinced. And instead, Jesus says they will get the sign of Jonah. What does he mean by the sign of Jonah? Well, elsewhere in the Bible, we can see that what he means by that is Jonah was swallowed by the whale. He was in the whale for 3 days and three nights, and then he was vomited back up again. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. In other words, a sign of Jonah is going to be death and resurrection. The sign of Jonah is the sign of the cross and the resurrection. Now, these people who were testing Jesus, they expected him to do a mighty sign, a pillar of fire, an earthquake, something dramatic. And instead, he's going to go to the cross. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, a foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it's a reminder that Jesus didn't come to conquer like a military leader. He didn't come to rule politically like these religious leaders who want to see a sign. He came to die for the sins of many. When Jonah preached in Nineveh, and when you read the book of Jonah, it's fantastic because God finally gets him to Nineveh and says, right, go and give the message. And he walks through the streets everywhere, and his message basically is, in 40 days, God's going to destroy the whole city. Don't say anything more. That's his message. But just with that message in Nineveh, all the people, including the king, fasted, humbled themselves, gave up their evil ways, and called on God for forgiveness. Now, the words from verse 28... we've read from verse 29, should be echoing in our ears here. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Jesus is saying the sign of Jonah is hearing God's word and doing it. And something greater than Jonah is here. Good news. The Son of God has come with a message. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And that's just what these Pharisees and Sadducees, these people who had power and these people who had religious clout, they didn't want to do. They didn't want to say, I need to repent. I need to change my ways. I need to turn from hypocrisy and humble myself and believe in Jesus. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And as we seek to love, trust, and follow Jesus, we have to have confidence in that gospel, a gospel of repentance. We have to have confidence that it's the message which God has for all of humanity. We have to have confidence it's a message that will bring true freedom and salvation to our world. We have to have confidence that we don't need to make it complicated. The message of Jesus is to repent and believe, to hear the word of God and do it. Now, it's offensive. Jesus is being really offensive here, by the way. He's telling the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish people, look, you see this Queen of Sheba, this Gentile that you don't even respect, she's going to condemn you in the day of judgment because she listened to Solomon and worshipped God. You know those Ninevites who used to murder you? They're going to be condemning you, because all they had from Jonah was a condemnation, and they repented and believed. He is being so offensive here. Think about our own generation, society, and the world we live in. The gospel is still offensive for different reasons. We've got to proclaim there's an almighty God who we're accountable to, and actually we're not the members of our own fate. We don't get to say everything that happens to us. And one day we'll answer to God, and the first question that we'll answer to our Almighty will be, what did you do about my son who died for you? That's the question these religious leaders who wanted to test Jesus are going to face. What did you do about my son that I sent to die for you? We must tell this generation And it's so offensive, isn't it? There's something wrong with you. You have sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. We have to tell our generation that we have sin in our hearts and minds which takes us away from the laws and commands of God. We need to tell our generation to give up the idea of trying to find identity in ourselves and look within and find it by looking at Christ. We need to change our perspective from being true to yourself to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. I'm just scratching the surface, but I think even that is difficult to say to the people that we're walking amongst and we're living amongst. And while that seems foolish and ineffective, remember that a whole city repented at Jonah walking the streets and simply just shouting condemnation. That a queen traveled a great distance to see the wisdom of Solomon and ended up worshipping God. Every time a person believes, it's a little miracle. And that's the sign we should be looking for. The sign of people just creeping a little bit closer to belief in God. And us being faithful and not preaching a gospel which is, oh, just be a bit nicer. But preaching gospel that you say, you know what? The next step is you need to repent and believe. I've never seen someone come to true faith that hasn't involved tears because of God has revealed a sin in their life. As we love, trust, and follow Jesus, we must have confidence in the message of the cross, which has led so many to repentance over 2,000 years, leading people into disciple, and that includes you. And if that message convinced you, then it's going to convince someone else as well. Have confidence in it. Now, the next thing Jesus says, which I said looks like it doesn't have anything to do with it to start with, is all about how our perception leads us into light or darkness. So in verse 33, he says, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Now, we're used to this being applied to us as disciples. Our light needs to shine. That's the song we sang with the children earlier. This light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that's true. But right now, Jesus is saying, my message is obvious. My message is a light. Okay, and if it was the 21st century, Jesus would have been the biggest influencer on social media at that moment. Not only has he performed miraculous signs, but he spoke with such authority and wisdom that crowds followed him everywhere. Let's remember who Jesus is. Because at Christmas time, he looks like a little baby in a manger. By the time he's preaching, he's the Son of God. His only Son, sent to proclaim God's salvation to His people. And no one can deny His power in His words and actions. Even the people who want to deny who Jesus is cannot deny when He speaks with such authority and when He moves with such power. And yet, He is rejected by the people who should be following Him as their Messiah. That should encourage us when we look out on unbelief in the world. Jesus was rejected by the very people who should have followed Him. And why was that? Well, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when you are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Jesus is using figurative language and is using their understanding of how eyes work and how light works to say, you interpret actions according to your mindset. If you have an evil outlook, you're going to have evil interpretations. So Jesus heals on the Sabbath. That's not an act of compassion. That's breaking the rules. So this person is not the Messiah. Jesus casts out demons. Well, do you know what? He's casting out demons in Satan's name, and he's Beelzebul. He's not the Messiah. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Well, do you know what? It's just not enough. We want a greater, bigger, heavenly sign before we're convinced that this is the Messiah. It's like a broken relationship. I don't know if you've ever gotten to that. It usually happens in student homes where there's been a bit of friction going on and everything then is interpreted as evil. Okay, you leave the milk out of the fridge and it's a deliberate act of sabotage. Once I came home to find a load of mushrooms on the side and decided to fry them up and eat them and discovered that my housemate had just left them there and had gone to the toilet and I'd managed to sort of eat them by the time he'd come back. After that, he interpreted most of my actions as evil. He was probably right, actually. But we know these things happen, don't we? It's like we get into this thing where our eye becomes evil and we look at a person, whatever they do is going to be interpreted as evil, even the good that they do. You can't do that with the Son of God, the Son of Man. This is the Creator God, but we're still doing it with Him. Do we thank our Creator for the gift of life, or do we curse Him for the suffering that comes along with it? Do we see the fatherly love of God, or do we see the abuse of a dictator? Our world, our society, and even us Christians ourselves, we're still doing it. As people who love, trust, and follow Jesus, we must remember that God is love. All that He does is good. When we suffer, He weeps with us. And when we come to Him for repentance, He forgives and restores us. When our generation rejects the authority of God and the sacrifice of the cross, it's not the message we need to change. There needs to be a change of heart. Only the Holy Spirit can bring about this change. But we can be the lights which show the way. If your whole body is full of light and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. How we see Christ decides what we take in and accept as true. If our eye is bad, we see nothing but evil and darkness. If our eye is good, we will be full of light. And that light can illuminate a dark room and show the way to others. Now, when Jesus is speaking these words, He's looking at a growing crowd. And there are many whose eyes are unhealthy, who have already rejected Him in their hearts and want to see Him dead. But in that crowd are the weak and the poor and the lost, who are seeking forgiveness, who are seeking a new way to life, who are seeking hope in eternal life. And their voices are being drowned out by the Pharisees, the influencers who reject and condemn Jesus and interpret everything He does as evil. In that crowd, Jesus says, as the crowds increase, this is what Jesus says. So in that crowd, there are those who are crying out for Jesus. Now, they don't need a sign. They don't need a light to show them the way. They don't need a sign. They need a light to show them the way to the cross where they can lay their burdens down and start a new life. And the amazing thing is that we become those lights. This Christmas season, let them see the light in your eyes as you celebrate Jesus. Let them see the love you have for Jesus who saved you from your sin. Let them see the trust you have in the message of the cross. Let them see you follow Jesus faithfully through the joys and sorrows. Be a sign to others as you love, trust, and follow Jesus.